这里面祈求一起
We come to intercede before you for all the saints and for all the churches, that you be gracious to us, and we do give the two fellowship meetings to you. May your holy anointing anoint us, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches today. Thank and praise you. Amen. Thank and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The time really goes by quickly. This morning when I woke up, the Lord gave me a word. The Lord gave me a word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's very amazing. Second Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
โดยที่พระเจ้าทรงขอร้องท่านทั้งหลายทางเราผู้แทนของพระคริสต์จึงขอร้องท่านให้คืนดีกันกับพระเจ้าอาเมน
That you be reconciled to God. It's quite amazing. When I woke up this morning, this verse came out of my heart. That I implore you all to be reconciled to God. This is what we need today. God caused the one who had no sin, who knew no sin for us. That's 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Besides, in verse 10 of this chapter, it says, here, Paul said here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
ได้รับสมกับการที่ได้ประพฤติในร่างกายนี้แล้วแต่จะดีหรือชั่ว อาเมน
เราจึงรู้ว่าพระเจ้าเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้ทรงเป็นผู้
But we are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your consciences.
เราจึงชักชวนคนทั้งหลายแต่เราเป็นที่ประจักษ์แก่พระเจ้าและข้าพเจ้าหวังว่าเราได้ปรากฏประจักษ์แก่ใจวินิจฉัยผิดและชอบของท่านด้วย อาเมน
我们的启示录看见我们的主这位大祭司的人
In the book of Revelation we see the Lord as such a great high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstands, he is such a one to be feared. When you meet him, when you see him, aren't you afraid of him? Don't you honor him? Don't you have a heart fearful of him? We tend to forget that He is God. He is the Most High God, the God of hosts. He is our Father in heaven. And He is the Creator God. He is the one who created us. He is the Almighty One. He's worthy of our worship. I think no one can see Him and not honor Him and fear Him. Besides, the church is His. It belongs to Him. It's not yours, and it's not mine. It's He who purchased it at a high price. He purchased it with His own blood. I have to ask myself, what price did I pay? What price did you pay? We are all servants of God. We are servants in His house. Each one of us is His servant. Now, what's the main thing? As a servant, Paul tells us that as a servant, we need to be faithful. And we also need to be prudent to serve Him and to serve the saints well. We are not the master. We are the servants. Unfortunately, we're like the Jews, like the Israelites. God wanted to become their king, but they rejected Him as king. He wanted to be king themselves. Paul said in the church in Corinth, you already want to be kings. We're all people like this. What should we do? We already have a head because set Him to be head over all things. We don't want Him, yet we want to be the head. Eventually, how is the condition of the church? Have you ever thought about it? Of the seven churches, which kind of a church do we belong to? So I hope that the fellowship the Lord gave us this time is for us to examine ourselves. What kind of a church we are before Him. How does the Lord judge us? If I look at Revelation chapter 3 again, here it talks about the church in Sardis.
Mm. 其实 是死的。
嗯。
The Lord said, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Now, is the church alive or is the church dead? In name, we're living. We're Christians, the church, so we should be living, right? But what is our true condition? Are we living or are we dead? The Lord said, but you are dead. Now tell me, is our church living or are we dead? Now you have to ask yourselves, are you satisfied? Are you filled with the Spirit? It's living. Or are you living in the flesh? The Lord Jesus said, it's very scary. What the Lord said here actually means we're already dead and yet we don't even know about it. If the Lord did not say, you are dead, I still feel like I'm still quite alive. Dead people, do dead people know how to scold you? You say, but I'm still quite alive. I know how to scold you. Will a dead person argue and fight and get very, very loud and noisy and cause a row? So tell me, are you actually alive or are you dead? Would a dead church still know how to do a lot of works? And there's still so many activities. But oftentimes, all those activities are without any life. It's ourself that is active there. And it's not the Spirit of the Lord that is active there. That's activity without life. In God's eyes, it's dead. It's not living. That is why such kind of condition is really pathetic. We've done a lot of work, but not one work is perfect. There's not one thing that satisfies his heart. The work that we do are all works that we like to do ourselves. And yet it's not done according to his will. Each week we have such meetings, but are our meetings pleasing to the Lord? Have you ever asked him, Lord, are you satisfied? Now, after the meeting, everybody goes home and everybody's happy. Is there any change within you? Were you touched? Were you moved? Did you get stronger? Do you have a more intimate fellowship with the Lord? If that's not the case, and we're still our same old self, tell me, are you alive or are you dead? I think we never thought of it, never asked this question. We have never asked this question. How is your fellowship with the Lord each day? That is the reason why we often fall into a dead condition, and we have no feeling, because a dead person has no feelings. That's why you have to consider. Yes. Amen. That's why you have to remember how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you.
Amen.
I'd like to ask you one thing. Do you really sense that the day of the Lord's coming is very near? Or perhaps you still consider, oh, the Lord is not coming yet. You would not have this feeling of urgency within you to say, oh, the Lord is really coming soon. It's very scary. Because the Lord said, you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Because you don't have any feeling within. And when the Lord comes upon you, he comes as a thief, and you don't know when the thief is coming. So that is why you won't feel like preparing for the Lord's coming. And the Lord also said here, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. Only a few names. Tell me, how many names are there? Are you one among these few names? How is your living? How are your garments? You don't even know if your garments were defiled. How is your living daily? How are your deeds daily? Do you walk with God? Like Enoch, who walked with God? Do you have such a sense? Walking with God. One who walks with God should be a living person. Only a living person can walk with God. And our garments need to be washed. And our conscience needs to be cleansed. A person who walks with God should have a pure conscience, a clean conscience. Paul said that he maintains a good conscience before God and before man at all times. This is a condition that a person who walks with God should have. They would walk with me in white. Are you willing to walk with him? But how many are walking with him? Are you one among those who walk with him? Do you have the sensation each day, Lord, I want to walk with you today? They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You have to ask yourself, are you worthy? I have to ask myself, am I worthy? Do not think that our God doesn't really care. Oh, you can live whatever way you like. No, God's requirements are very high. It's a very high standard. Our standard is very low. Lord, we're not up to standard. If the Lord would say to you, you are worthy, then you're really blessed. Oftentimes I tell the Lord, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Then what? What should I do? Do be gracious to me. I want to be one who is worthy to walk with you. If we're not worthy, then we'll have a big problem when the Lord comes back. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Tell me, isn't that scary? That your name and my name would be blotted out from the book of life? What are we going to do? Brothers and sisters, are you not afraid? Priscilla, are you not afraid? Are you? Yes? I am afraid. I'm afraid. When the Lord suddenly comes back and I have no part in the millennial kingdom, my name was wiped out, blotted out. Are you not afraid of that? Who is not afraid? 戒, are you afraid? Yes. I think a normal Christian would be afraid. But if you're dead, you won't be afraid because a dead person would not know to be afraid. It's already lying in the grave. What would you be afraid of? If you have no feeling within you anymore, what would you be afraid of? Right? Only a living person has feeling. You no longer have life in your spirit. So, would you have any feeling? You still think you're so great there. You still think that you're an elder. I would say they are very old. You're often old. 长老, instead of a 长老, which is an elder. Oh, Lord. May the Lord have mercy on us. Perhaps I myself am one who is often old. Oh Lord, we should not read the Lord's word in vain. You have to read it for yourself. Do not read the word for someone else. You're willing to become an overcomer. Yes.
In
last part of verse 5, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. If the Lord would not confess your name, then you're in trouble. God's word is true. He will not, the Lord's word is true. He will not lie to us. So you do see that the Lord's word in the book of Revelation is too serious. Let's go on to take a look at the church in Philadelphia. Thank the Lord. We need our Eliakim. We need our Lord Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. He is our King. Because the church is his kingdom. If no one would listen to the king, what kind of a king is he? We all have to obey the king. We have to hear him and obey his word. If a king speaks and no one listens to him, what kind of a king is he? God has already set Christ as king. He's the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And he's Melchizedek. There is a king in the church. Who is the king in the church in Bangkok? Is there someone with the last name King or Wang? If your last name is Wang, you should change it because you're not the king. Your last name has to be servant, not king.
要姓蒲，不是姓黄。
You have to change your last name to Pu. It's a servant, not king. And you have to be a faithful servant. Do not reject our Lord Jesus as king. You have to remember in Isaiah chapter 22, Eliakim is set there as, by God to be king there in his house. And all things need to hang on him, would hang on him. There's not one thing that is not hanging or relying on him. The church is so serious. Let me tell you once again. The most important thing in God's heart is that he wants to build his church, that is his Zion. So I really am very impressed with Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And you also have to remember in Revelation chapter 14, the 144,000 are standing with the Lamb together on Mount Zion. Think about it. If you're not with him in Zion today, do you think that you can be standing with him on Mount Zion in that day? If you don't have Zion in your heart today, do you think you would be able to stand with him on Mount Zion in that day before God's throne? Would you have that qualification? That's not possible. That's impossible. That's why, by God's grace, the Lord has shown us that the church today is his Zion. It's his kingdom. At the beginning of the Gospel of Kingdom, at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, it's a Gospel of the Kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heavens is at hand. God's kingdom be brought into us. Christ came not only to be our Savior, but he also came to become our King. Is he your Savior or is he your King? We all call him as our Savior Lord, but nobody calls him as King. He is your King. Is there any royal law? Law of the kingdom? Is there any law in your church? Or is it so that each one does whatever he likes? When the Lord Jesus wanted to bring him into the good land, he said, from this day forth, you should, cannot do what you think is right in your own eyes. Because God wants to gain a kingdom on the earth. He wants to be king. If each one would do what is right in his own eyes, then what would happen? The church cannot do that. That's why it says here that I know your works. And I know you have a little strength. Let me tell you, it's not good to be too strong. When I was young, I thought, the stronger I am, the better. And everybody is very strong doing his or her own thing. So if you're not strong but weak, that's even better. As long as we keep his word, that's good. It's not to preach his word, but to keep his word. Everybody likes to preach, but no one likes to keep his word. You know, if you want to preach or give a sermon, you don't need much strength. But if you want to keep his word, you do. That is why many people do not like the book of James. James says, do not be preachers of the word, nor be hearers of the word, but you have to be a doer of the word, that you obey God's word. You need strength. You need the Lord's strength to obey his word. You've heard so many messages. And I'm also very apologetic because I have come to you so often and given you so many messages. I'm sorry. For many years now. Twice each year. There's a conference and there is a service conference. And I spoke so many messages. Lord, I truly have to repent. Why repent? Because I've spoken so much, but nobody acts on it. Nobody obeys it. I really feel very sorry. I feel very ashamed. Truly so. But thank the Lord. The Lord knows that in my heart, I really have you in my heart. I think of you. I can't forget you. There's no way for me to forget you all. So we have to keep and obey God's word. We just need this little strength to keep his word. If we don't keep his word, what's the use if we hear so many messages? God doesn't need preachers of the word, but God needs people who obey his word, who keep his word. You have a little strength, have kept my word. Oh, this is such a sweet word from the Lord. And you have not denied my name. What does it mean not to have denied his name? His name is he himself. You know, if you hear his word and you don't keep his word, you are actually denying his name. The Lord comes in our midst. He says a few words. You don't hear him and you don't bother, you don't care. Aren't you denying his name? Now we hold a conference, and after the conference, nobody obeys the word, and everybody goes home and forgets about it. So what's the use of the conference? I go to over there and tell you, oh, you have to be priest, but after I leave, nobody wants to be priests. So what I spoke was spoken in vain. I tell you, this is at the Lord's table. We need to keep the feast. After I leave, nobody keeps the feast. Tell me, what's the use? If you want to be the church in Philadelphia, you cannot be a church like that. There are two requirements to keep his word and not deny his name. Only these two conditions, that suffice. That suffices. You don't need a lot of methods to do this or do that. You only need these two things. Is it too much to ask for these two conditions? Priscilla, if I were to go over to your place and tell you these are the two conditions that you need to have, would you say it's too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? Now tell me, is the church demanding too much of the church in Philadelphia? Lord, you're too much. Is that the case? Now, if we can keep his word and not deny his name, then, he says, see, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it.
那你们在曼谷的教会有没有一个敞开的门，还是
Now, do you have an open door in the church in Bangkok? Or do you have closed doors there? Are your doors closed or open?
We
all hope to have an open door. It's not that we people go force the door open. But it's the Lord who opens the door with his key. Then it'll be okay. If you have the key, it's very easy to open the door. Without the key, you keep banging and banging on it. You might damage the door, and yet the door will not open for you. I hope that the Lord would give us an open door in the 2 years to come. That no one can shut. If he says no one can shut, then no one can shut. But his requirement, his condition is that we have to keep his word and to obey him and not to reject or deny him. We love his name. Lord, we love your name. May your name be magnified. The name of our Lord Jesus is too sweet. And our relationship with him is a relationship of love. There's no relationship more intimate. I'm sorry, no relationship is more intimate than the relationship of love. And the Lord says that even I will make those of the synagogue of Satan come to you and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. Isn't that amazing? Even those of the synagogue of Satan would have to confess that God loves you. Don't ask me who are those of the synagogue of Satan. Don't ask me. But no matter who they are, they will come and worship before your feet. Not in English, this is not worship, but prostrate before your feet and confess that God has loved you. Even the synagogue of Satan has to admit or confess that the Lord loves you. The Lord loves the church in Philadelphia. Tell me, wouldn't you love to be the church in Philadelphia? Even Satan would have to confess that God loves you. Oh, Lord. Tell me, isn't that good? Do you want to be such a church? That's too wonderful. They say they are Jews, but are not. Today, there are a lot of fake ones. There are a lot of fake ones today. Don't be deceived. Many are fake or false. We should not be deceived. But if we are Philadelphia, then we won't be deceived. Not everyone who says that they are a Jew, and they are. In Romans chapter 2, Paul said, we are the real Jews. And we are those who worship God in spirit. That we are justified by God and not by man. Those who are well-pleasing to God. It's not what man says that counts, but it's what God says that counts. What man says doesn't count, but only what God says counts. I will make them come and worship before your feet and to prostrate themselves before you to know that I have loved you. You say you love him, but the Lord says, I have loved you. Whose word is more important? Is it more important for you to say, Lord, I love you? Or for the Lord to say, I have loved you? You may say to Doyong may say, I love you, Lord. And the Lord would return by saying, oh, I love you even more. Of course, what God says to me is more important. This is different than what is mentioned in Ephesians, that Christ loved the church. There's a difference here. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her church. That is very objective. But this here in Philadelphia is a very subjective way in which the Lord has said, I have loved you. The feeling is the same. What is mentioned in Ephesians 5, it says Christ loved the church. And what is said here, that I have loved you, that's a totally different feeling. You want to be Philadelphia? That's too good. For them to know that I have loved you. If we're fighting with each other each day, would the Lord say to you, I have loved you? In the church in Laodicea, the Lord did not say, I have loved you, but the Lord said that I'll spit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Do you want the Lord to vomit you out of his mouth? Or do you want the Lord to say, I have loved you? Lord. Tell me, brothers and sisters, would the word of the Lord touch your heart? Is this a doctrine? This is the Lord speaking what is in his heart. And then the Lord had a very good news for them. Because you have kept my command to persevere. The Lord's word needs our perseverance to keep. Because it is not easy to keep his word. We have to reject our flesh. We have to set aside our own feelings. We have to afflict our souls. And we have to pay a price. We need patience to persevere. It's not a happy-go-lucky, it's fine. We have to suffer. I go through trial by fire. Be persecuted. Not pleasing people. Not liked by man. Whether people like it or not, we have to keep his word. We don't care whether other people like it, but as long as the Lord loves it, it's good enough. So in order to keep the Lord's word, you cannot be man pleasers. Man's opinions are different. Whether man likes it or not, we don't bother with that. We have to obey his word. That is why all the disciples, all the apostles suffered, and they were all martyrs for the sake of the Lord, because they were keeping his word. Without perseverance, without patience, there's no way to keep his word. Tell me, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, did he just preach? No. He lived out God's word. He was persecuted. And he persevered to the end. So because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Don't think that you will not go through the last 3.5 years of the great, so-called great tribulation. It all depends on whether you keep his word today or not. This is not simple at all. So John gave us a good example. He's the last and the oldest living apostle in his time. He was over 90 years old. He was still suffering. If we're in our 90s, we think, oh, we should have retired. We're not 80 yet. We already want to retire. In the end, he was also martyred. Tell me, brothers and sisters, on this path of Philadelphia, the Lord tells us how we can avoid going through the last 3.5 years of the suffering of the hour of God's wrath. Do you think we just live as a Christian, a common Christian, and we can avoid the great tribulation? According to the word of the Lord in Philadelphia, it's not that simple. If you want to be kept from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, then you have to keep his command to persevere, to have patience. There's no simpler way. Truly, there's no way. If you find a simpler way, don't tell me because I won't believe it. I won't believe you. I believe in God's word. I don't believe your word. So the Lord Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. You know, this word is too precious. This, behold, I'm coming quickly. It's very sweet because he loves us and he wants to come quickly. I did not tell the church in Bangkok and say, oh, I am coming quickly. If the Lord doesn't tell you that, if the Lord doesn't say, I'm coming quickly to you in the church in Bangkok, I think he is letting you go. He doesn't really care for you so much. Because you don't care. And you don't wait for his coming. And you don't prepare for his coming. And you, each day, you just live your own happy life as if he were not coming at all. Now, if you're such a church, why would the Lord bother to tell you, behold, I'm coming quickly? If I have no intention to go to Bangkok, I would not tell the brothers and sisters, oh, I'm coming quickly to Bangkok, or that I'm going to Guangzhou. I wouldn't say that. But the Lord told Philadelphia, behold, I am coming quickly. You have to touch the spirit in God speaking, then you can sense the feeling that the Lord has for the church in Philadelphia. So you need to hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. So Philadelphia already has a crown confirmed, waiting for them, just like the church in Smyrna. There It's for sure a crown waiting for them. The same with Smyrna. So you have to hold fast what you have. What it means to hold fast means that you have to continue to go forward. If you do not go on forward, that means you're going backwards. You're backsliding. According to my experience, in order to hold fast, you have to be going on forward. A person who does not go on spiritually, then he will be backsliding, going backwards. It's just like if your body is not healthy, how are you going to hold fast? If you do not go on forward, if you don't exercise to go forward, you would go backwards. I've seen too many people in the last 60 years, many that backslid, and many they were lost. I've seen too many of that. They lost whatever they had previously. It's all gone. Because they're not going on. So, brothers and sisters, we have to hold fast and go on. I hope that we would all learn and exercise. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. To be a pillar, strong. You know, a lot of brothers and sisters want the church to come serve them, and not they don't come to serve. So, is the church serving you, or are you serving the church? We all rely on the church. The church has to come serve me. How about you? Do you serve the church? If you serve the church, you are a pillar. But if you rely on the church to come serve you, I don't know what you are. In all these years, is the church there serving you, or are you serving the church? Tell me. Do you rely on the church? Oh, the church is relying on you as a pillar. The Lord needs many pillars in the church. Those who are clear concerning the truth. And they're strong in life. And their living is normal, proper. Fully living for the church. They're faithful servants. They're supporting others, not for others to be supporting us. They're helping others. They're paying the price. They're a pillar. He will go no more out. He shall go out no more. He can't run away anymore. If you are a pillar, you can't run away. People can run away because they're not pillars. You can't run away. Because the spiritual responsibility upon you. You don't need people to come encourage you. The Holy Spirit is within you, encouraging you daily to be strong. The church needs many such pillars. Are you willing to be a pillar in the church? And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name.
และเราจะจารึกนามใหม่ของเราไว้ที่ผู้นั้นด้วยอาเมน
ขอบคุณสรรเสริญพระองค์
Thank and praise the Lord. It's the same as the 144,000. On their foreheads, there's the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And here, the name of the New Jerusalem is also written on there. Do you have so much room for the Lord to write on you?
ในที่นี่เนี่ยพระองค์ก็ได้ทรงจารึกพระนามของพระองค์ไว้อีกเพราะฉะนั้นหน้าผากของเราเนี่ยเราคิดว่าเราจะมีที่มากมายให้พระองค์ทรงจารึกไว้หรือไม่
I have to
ask the brothers and sisters. In your daily living, are your thoughts on heavenly things or are your thoughts on earthly things? Colossians chapter 3 tells us we should not set our minds on the things of the earth, but set our minds on things above, where Christ is. You have to know what the will of God is. You have to set your mind on things of God. Then you have to keep telling the Lord, Oh Father, if you don't tell me your will, how would I know your will? If you don't tell me what you're doing today, how would I know? How would I know when you're coming back? How are you going to build the church? What's the next step? What to do? How do I learn to be a priest, to do my priestly service? What is lacking still in the church? If you don't tell us, how are we going to know? Brothers and sisters, Do you have such thoughts before the Lord? Or do you think that whatever you're doing right now, that's good enough? Oh, our Lord has nothing new to tell us? He has nothing new to say to you anymore? Your church is already perfect in everything. You're perfected already. That's good enough. Is that the case? Are you satisfied? You don't need to improve anymore? You've done enough? To be the church in Philadelphia is not to be like this. We still need to know. We still need to know many things, many great things. Just like what the Lord said in Jeremiah 33. He says, and he will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Do you know enough? And that's it. That's it with the church. There's no new way to go. The Lord has no new revelation to show us. Do you know enough already? You mean to say you have already searched through the unsearchable riches of Christ? Like someone who said, oh, I have seen everything that needs to be seen in the Bible. I said, oh my, this person is too great. All the unsearchable riches of Christ, he's seen through it all. This would be quite somebody. It's too scary. But you have to be Philadelphia. My head, my brain is so small. I think you have a bigger head than I. How much can fit into my mind? How much can I understand? How much of God's will can I apprehend? Oftentimes I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm too stupid. I cannot understand your will. I'm too dumb. So may the Lord have mercy on us. The Lord said also that he has a new name. You know that the Lord Jesus has a new name? Brother Chu, what's the new name of the Lord Jesus? If you and I already know, then it isn't a new name anymore.
So,
That is why there's way too much that we do not know. There's way too much. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. I hope that we have enough room on our foreheads for him to write some more. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, it's 8 o'clock here, so let's have some prayer. Time's up.